There was a survey done last year. 1,000 Americans were asked this question. If you knew you were going to be stranded on a desert island for an extended period of time, what would you say are the necessities to bring with you? And they gave them a list of 100 things, and they could pick the top 10 that they would want to make sure they brought on this deserted island that are classified as necessities. Necessities. Number 10, a television. We love our TV, don't we? Number 9, we have to bring a place to eat out. The average American spends $3,000 a year going out to lunch, $1,200 of it on fast food. Our budget has gone up significantly since In-N-Out came to town, right? Number 8, necessity, streaming services. Netflix has over 100 million subscribers in the U.S. Number 7, microwave. 93% of us have one. Number 6, a large, comfortable mattress, because we want to sleep good. It also said it was interesting, only 2% of people claim to never make their bed. How many of you are then that 2%? I don't like making the bed. I don't. You're just going to mess it up again 5 hours later. Right? Hey, my motto is eat till you're tired and sleep till you're hungry. Right? That's a great motto to live by. Number 5, dishwasher. Have to take a dishwasher. Now, I don't understand number 4 because you're on a deserted island by yourself. Number 4 is beauty products. Why would I need to bring beauty products if I'm there by myself? Number 3, a dryer. Need to bring a dryer. Wow, this is weird. Microwave, dryer, dishwasher. Number 2, we understand this one. I got to bring my pets, right? $66 billion a year is what Americans spend on pets. And number 1, what do you think number 1 is? My phone with Wi-Fi. There are 50 million wireless networks in America today. This is a mind-blowing. 44% of the world population, not just America, 44% of the world population has a smartphone. Think about that. 7 billion people in the world, and 4 out of 10 of them have a smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you are so out of touch. How many of you still have the flip phone, right? Yeah, look at all these. Oh, that's great. Turn around. Raise your hand again. Look at all the people in our church that do not have a smartphone. Way to go, you guys. If somebody's hand up was next to you, can you go home and get them your old smartphone and give it to them, okay? All right. Hey, on Sunday mornings, this summer, we're going through a study called Navigating Our New Testament. And again, our New Testament is the second part of your Bible. The Old Testament is the first part. The New Testament is the second part from Jesus forward. And we've just been looking at some different topics as we walk through the New Testament. And this morning, I want you to pull out the two sheets that we gave to you, and hopefully you have. We're going to start this week and next week in our small groups talking about the one another's. The one another's. When Jesus came into this world and he died on the cross, and we saw the last couple of weeks how he gave to us the Holy Spirit, he gave us his Spirit so that we could really love one another. That with God's help and a faith community, we could really learn how to love one another. We are so different. We are so diverse. And the faith community of Christianity is so inclusive because it welcomes everyone in. Everyone is open to following Jesus. Everyone is open to God's gift of salvation. Everyone is open and has the ability to come to know Jesus. And when we do, we begin to be a part of this faith community. And there's a lot of verses. In fact, there's over 40 of them in the slice of your Bible called the New Testament that talks specifically about how now to love and to work with one another. And I want you to look at that sheet, the one another's. We combined them down into two lists. We condensed them down into attitudes that we have toward one another and actions we do toward one another. Let's look at those. In fact, let's read those 1 through 7 on your list there. The first one is what? Love one another. Look how many times it's listed in the New Testament. That's the number one on the list. We are admonished, we are encouraged that when we look around this patio today, these are our brothers and sisters, and we are to love one another. Number two, we are to what? Accept one another. It's okay to be completely different than one another. When Jesus comes into our life, he doesn't produce clones. He doesn't expect us all to look the same and to act the same and to live the same. That's why he puts in there to accept one another. Number three is what? Honor one another. Honor means to give weight to. Number four, live in what? Peace with one another. These are the attitudes that we have toward each other. Number five, be what? Be humble toward one another. Number six is a tough one. We should what? Forgive one another. Number seven, be what? I just got to say, setting up this morning, we had to exercise number seven. Because you know what? Being human beings filled with God's Spirit, we still have to learn how to get along with one another. But it's so important. And what's interesting is that these lists are in the New Testament. The people that were the first generation Christians struggled with these things. And so now that we live 2,000 years later, it's okay that sometimes we have to be reminded to do these things as well. You look down there, the next list and actions. Number one under actions is what? Serve one another. Who am I serving in the faith community? Number two is what? Submit. Number three is what? Carry each other's burdens. Number four, confess your sins. Hey, if you blow it, just admit it. Number five, be kind and gentle. Number six, be what? Encourage one another. That's an action. When's the last time I encouraged a brother or sister in the Lord? I wrote him a note. I sent him an email. I gave him a call. I took him out to lunch. Took him out to a cup of coffee just to encourage them. Number seven, speak what? Truth to one another. These are the things that the New Testament is challenging us as the faith community to live by. And in our small groups this week and next week, we're going to go through this list in more detail because it's so important for us to learn how to live together. Now let's grab the other sheet talking about one another's in the New Testament. Why is this so important? I'm just going to go through these quickly. Number one, you are a what? In my life. And this is true, I need you in my life. When you're going through the down times of life, when you're really struggling with something, who do you turn to? And who do you have in your life that's going to come and walk with you through that time? I need you in my life. You need others in your life. And not just as friends, acquaintances, but look what I wrote down there. Do I have character-shaping friendships? In our men's study on Wednesday nights, we've been going through a series of study, and in this study, they keep reminding us, hey guys, who in your life is close enough to you to help shape character? Who's helping me become the man that God wants me to be? I need people in my life that will help shape my character. I was in a meeting this week with one of my advisors, and he was sharpening me and telling me how to do things differently. And I have to be willing to say, I need that in my life, because we all need to continue to grow. You are a necessity in my life. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a necessity in my life. Because, see, we joke about living on an island all by ourselves. But when we look in the New Testament of the Bible, we realize that life following Jesus is not meant to be lived alone. It's not a maverick lifestyle. It's not an isolated lifestyle. I can't be, even with God inside of me, everything God wants me to be unless I let other people in to help me shape my character. Who are you letting in? And when you are down and out, who do you call? Is it someone in the faith community? Is someone close enough to you? Number two, we really can what? Guide each other. There's a verse in Colossians says that with the knowledge and wisdom that God has given you, admonish or encourage one another. You have something in your life that you've learned from God or that you're learning from God, and one of the reasons that God is allowing you to learn it is so that you can share it. God allows me to learn things and to grow in areas so that my life improves, but he also gives me those things to share with someone else. Many times you don't believe you're an influencer, and the New Testament clearly tells us that you are an influencer. God has been showing you stuff. God has been teaching you stuff, and it's not just for you, but God's going to bring someone into your life at work or in your neighborhood or at your school that needs to know what you just learned so that you can influence them. You really can guide each other. You really can be an influencer. So number one, you are a necessity in my life. Number two, I am an influencer. So say that with me. I am an influencer. Now the question is, who are you influencing? Not only am I allowing people in my life to shape my character, but whose life am I in to help shape their character? Parents with kids with each other, students with each other. Who are you influencing? Whose life are you a part of? Number three, and this is so true, how we treat our faith family is how we'll treat our community. See, it starts with our hearts. It starts with us. And how we treat each other is how we're going to treat our neighbor. And how we treat our neighbor is going to make a big impact on them. It always starts with us. It starts with how we're treating each other. That's why Jesus said those famous words. They will know we are Christians by our what? By our love for each other. How we love one another, how we be patient and kind with each other is then how we're going to turn to the world. And as Dave prayed this morning, doesn't our country need more love? Our country needs peace. Our country needs kindness. Our country needs civility. And where should our country see that? They should see it in us, with each other, and then out in the community. But if we're not treating each other this way, we're not going to treat the community that way. Number four, how we treat one another paints the picture of God. Some people, amazingly, in our country, don't have a picture of God. They're not sure what the person of God looks like. They're not sure what the follower of God looks like. And they get that picture painted in their imagination and in their mind from how we treat one another. So it's so important to how we treat each other because it gives the picture of what God is like. What God is like. James says it this way. If we bite and devour one another, we better be careful that we are not ourselves being devoured. Because how we treat each other is a picture of God. And then finally, number five, it all starts with my heart, then my hands. We've been going through this thing called Navigating the New Testament, and we've been walking through this section called the three keys to the New Testament. The first key was the Holy Spirit comes into us. The second key is that it's all about our hearts. That Christianity is not a behavioral modification system. Christianity is all about the transformation of the heart. If I will change my heart, what I do with my hands will change. If I change what I do with my hands, my heart may not change. That's why laws can't change hearts, but hearts can change laws. Does that make sense? And so how we treat each other starts with our heart. Starts with our heart. We desperately need each other. And we desperately need to have the attitudes that are listed for us and the actions that are listed for us. I remember when I was became the pastor here at Auburn Grace in 1994, and things were difficult. Surprisingly, things were difficult in church. We had just moved into this building, and there was about 100 people here, and we were really struggling. And I got away to a prayer conference, a three-day just time to get away with other pastors and spend some time praying. And they had us reading through different scriptures, and one of the scriptures was out of the book of Psalms from King David. And the scripture that we happened to be reading that particular morning in our own personal time was about how David was going through struggles, but God was taking care of him. And I was reading that scripture and just thinking about it, and I actually had a bit of a pity party at the moment. And I said, okay, God, you did this for David. He was going through a tough time, and you brought him the help that he needed. And I said, okay, God, I'm going through a hard time. I'm giving it my best, and it's not working. And I'm discouraged, and I'm tired. Where are my help? What are you doing for me? And as I was sitting there on my bunk in that little place, you know what started coming to my mind? People. This person, and that friend, and that believer. And God started reminding me that the gifts he was giving to me weren't things, but were people. And we desperately need each other, because the greatest gift that God can give to you in your time of hurt and need is another person. That's why these life groups are so important, that we can get close enough to each other to really have the relationships that we really need. So as the Holy Spirit comes into our life and he starts to give us the attitudes and change our heart, and he starts to bring these people around us, he's doing that because that's what we desperately need. That's what our world desperately needs to see from us. And that's what our world needs in general. So let me encourage you, as you go this week, review some of these attitudes. Remember, the challenge this summer is to read how many books of the New Testament a week? Two. Okay, and to memorize the order of the books of the New Testament. And hopefully you've joined a small group. Or if you haven't, just take some time and review these and ask yourself the question, are these the attitudes that I present with my brothers and sisters? Are these the actions? Who am I serving? Who am I honoring? Is there someone that I need to forgive? Is there someone that I need to honor? Is there someone I need to encourage? Because we are in desperate need of each other as we walk through this New Testament. God has given you a special group of people to help you in your life, and those people are called your brothers and sisters in the Lord. I need them in my life. You need them in your life. We need to be together so that we can love and encourage one another. So as we're going through this summer, let me encourage you to think about these things. How are you influencing, and who are you allowing to influence yourself? The one another's of the New Testament. In your small groups, you're going to be looking at this list for 2 weeks. This week, you're going to look at the attitudes we should have toward one another. And next week, the actions that we should have toward each other. Because this is how we make it in life. We're not looking to our government to take care of us. We're not looking for the world to take care of us. We're looking for Jesus to take care of us and for one another to take care of us as we take care of each other. Does that make sense? So that's the attitudes and the actions that we're going to be focusing on these next few weeks. Okay? Let's pray together, and then Dave's going to come up and share with us what's next. Lord, we thank you for each person that's here because it's significant. Lord, we freely admit that we need other people in our life, not just acquaintances, not just someone to talk about clothing or sports with. We need people in our life that are going to help shape our character. So, Lord, help us to be humble and allow people close to us and allow your Holy Spirit and your word to shape our character. And the Lord, help us to know that we are also influencers, that you have brought people in our lives, that we can make a difference in them, that we really do have something to give to others. So Lord, show us who you brought into our life to influence. Maybe it's our children or our neighbors or friend at school. But Lord, you have left us here to influence one another. May we be a great Christian family. May the world around us see the Auburn Grace family as a family that loves each other, that is humble toward each other, that serves one another, so that they will be attracted to our God. May we as a church family paint a picture accurately of what you are like and how your arms are open to us. Thank you that you made us so different. Thank you that we have a vast variety of preferences and strengths. But Lord, the foundation of our relationship is you. So thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for what you're going to do, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.